But about 19 more minutes before 8:30. We will start at 8:30. Oh, sorry, 9 minutes. Not that much. So for those who has gone for the retreat, maybe we spend this few minutes talking to you. So how was the retreat? I was still very good. Okay, anybody want to share their experience at the retreat? Don't be shy. You can share your experience if you want to. If you have something to share, it will be very good so that other people can learn. They can also benefit from what you experience. Okay, anyway, for those who are new, we rejoice in your ability to join us, and you are most welcome. So make yourself at home. So we will start at exactly 8:30. What we do here is very simple. We call it vipassana meditation. Means from the word vipassana, there is two words. We is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. When you are able to awaken to it, when you are able to develop the wisdom within, it will actually transform you completely. First thing that you will awaken to is the anatta nature, non-self nature, empty nature. Then, of course, the other two are equally useful and important. If you really can penetrate impermanent, actually it will lead to the other two automatically. But you will come to understand only after you awaken. Otherwise, the three are like different things. So, in order to develop this meditation, we need one very important quality of mind. Your mind, you must train this mind, because the mind that is not trained is heedless, the Buddha said. So you must train this mind so that it can become silent, peaceful, aware. Awareness is very important. Our Buddhist term is mindfulness. So it's mind in fullness without thought, understand? Just aware before the knowing. So if you can train your mind to be just aware, it will be silent and peaceful because it is without thought. But it's very difficult for you to do that because you have been so heedless for so long. In fact, most human beings throughout the day, even when you sleep, your mind is never aware, seldom. Most of the time it's thinking, worrying. Planning, doing all sorts of funny things. So this meditation has a lot of benefits. So if you know how to really develop this training of the mind, to develop this style of so-called vipassana meditation or insight meditation that the Buddha tried to sort of let you understand, it's going to be of great help to you. Especially in understanding who you are, what you are, and what life is all about, so that you know how to truly live life. When you understand life, then you will know how to confront life without having to actually getting yourself entangled with life, so that all of the so-called suffering, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sadness, the sorrow, and the lamentation, all this, they will not arise. You will not be afflicted by things or situation in life. Whatever happens, the mind that has this wisdom or understanding is always at peace. Then there is a lot of joy. Then there is a lot of meaning to life. Then you become a completely transformed person or human being. Your personality, your character, everything will be transformed for the better. And because of that, the Buddha said, you can be a true blessing to the world and to all of humanity. So when you can really develop that type of wisdom, your mind is so different. You will have the Dhamma. And Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. He teaches nothing else but the truth. The truth about life. Truth about who you are, what you are, what the world is. And how you can understand clearly. How as a human being, you arise the thought and how you function. Then how you get yourself entangled. And how you stir your mind and condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, and all your so-called mental suffering. Then when you come to confront certain life reality that the Buddha talks about under the First Noble Truth, the eight condition within the First Noble Truth is very important. So these are the things we try to develop the wisdom and the understanding so that when we are confronted with these First Noble Truth realities, you will not be afflicted. You will not, like before, get yourself entangled so badly until there is so much suffering involved. So basically, this meditation is very simple. So I will now just summarize to you what we do. We will start by paying respect to the Buddha. This is to develop the faith, the saddha, the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through a very important understanding of who the Buddha is, how important and how wonderful this teaching is, because it can bring about an enlightenment that can free your mind, that can liberate your mind, that can completely change you from deep within, so that you can have this type of beautiful understanding that can help you to cope with life. All of your so-called problems of life, you can now, with this new understanding, not only cope, your mind is completely free, no more entanglement. So when you have that understanding, you will become very, very determined to go this way. Your faith in the Buddha and the Virya, which is your spiritual zeal, will be very strong. Then you determine to cultivate. So the spiritual faculty that comes with this type of puja is very important. That's why we start by doing the pre-puja. We pay respect to the Buddha. We do it with a lot of understanding. We develop the strong faith, saddha. So when this saddha is there, you become very calm, very composed. The faith is very strong. Then there is this understanding that this teaching is so beautiful. There is this very strong virya or spiritual zeal that will move you to cultivate. Then when you pay respect mindfully, the third spiritual faculty, sati, will arise. Mindfulness will arise. Then when these three spiritual faculties fall into place, the last two will also arise. Sati will lead to samadhi, the collected mind, the unwavering mind. Then with sati and samadhi, you can have this clarity of mind to see things as they are, so that your mind is different. So that it can develop the understanding and the wisdom and you get insight into the truth and the reality, the characteristics of all phenomena, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. That's why truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. After the puja, we will start the meditation. So for those who are new, the puja is very simple. After we pay respect three times, we will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa three times. Then we take refuge with the triple gem. Then after that, we renew our five precepts. Then we rejoice by saying sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is to prepare your mind. prepare your mental state so that the spiritual faculties fall into place, so that it will help you to develop the meditation. Yeah? Okay, 8:30 we can start. Huh? So you compose your mind. If you don't know how to chant, don't worry. Huh? You just silence your mind and rejoice. Huh? Listen to the vibration. When you silence your mind, this vibration will go in. So without thought, you will absorb a lot of things. Huh? For those who are new, you don't worry. Huh? You just listen. Okay, now compose your mind. Huh? With a calm and composed mind, just pay respect to the Buddha. Means somebody who has taught you well. Somebody who has this unique quality of being a fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, perfect, complete in enlightenment. So he is a teacher without comparison, huh? The wisest and the most virtuous. So to have him as a guide and a teacher, you will have a lot of gratitude towards him and respect for him. So you compose your mind and develop this faith in him and pay respect. Then we start, okay? Okay, we will chant the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we start. Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So it has been quite a while, huh? We haven't met. I think last Thursday, we cancelled the class because of your retreat in Cameron Highland. Huh? So I believe a lot of you who are here, you all have attended the retreat. Huh? I was told, huh? You all really love it. Huh? It's a very good retreat. Huh? So maybe later, huh, the Q&A or sharing, some of you can share your experience. Huh? That would be good. Huh? So how was your retreat actually? I need to know. You all like it? Oh, so quiet. Never mind, as usual. Malaysians are more shy. But Westerner, they really speak their mind, which is very good. It's the other way around. So you will learn. When you have the cultivation, you will become different. Then when you understand what is compassion and what is love, you will share. Because your sharing is so sincere. You just want to benefit others. So this aspect of virtue or goodness is very important. It comes with the wisdom. Always remember, the Dhamma is so beautiful. When you have cultivated it correctly, always remember, you will become beautiful. Not in the physical form. Beautiful is the inner beauty. You will have all the virtue in you. All the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the love and the compassion and the wisdom in you. Then the egoic mind weakens. Your ego actually weakens. Then finally, you just understand what this is. Then that self nature or ego actually will fade away. Then you understand what this human being is all about, what this consciousness and mind is all about, what the physical form is all about. So all this will be very beautiful. Then you naturally manifest what the Buddha called the Noble Eightfold Path. A person with Noble Eightfold Path is very beautiful. That's why this is the meditation that you must cultivate. End of the day, whatever you do in the name of meditation, if you cannot relate back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, you don't hold this Noble Eightfold Path quality or virtue, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. A person with Noble Eightfold Path is so beautiful. They have right view, right understanding of the laws that govern life and existence. They understand the secret of life, especially the spiritual laws. Then because they understand that with right view and right understanding, they will know how to apply the Dhamma that is in accordance with this law. That's why right view will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, followed by the right effort to transform. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, the first six path factor is about wholesomeness, without negativity. A person with wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, has a lot of evil roots. When you have wrong thought, you know what it will do to you. Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sadness, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and all of your unhappy state. So you tell yourself, why do you allow this wrong thought to arise? But because the evil root are so strong, they are already like a habitual tendency, latent tendency deep inside you because of your strong delusion or ignorance. And because of that, living being don't have the mindfulness or awareness to be aware of what is going on. That's why the Buddha teach the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. He said, these are root of all evil. You cannot have them in your heart, otherwise you become evil. So the advice of the Buddha is very simple. Develop your mind, train your mind to be heedful. That's why before he died, he said, heedfulness is very important, is it? Apamadena sampadeta. Strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless anymore. When you are heedful, you are aware, you have this clarity of mind, then you can develop the understanding of what is going on. Without heedfulness, you cannot see. The evil roots are there, but you cannot see. That's why you get yourself constantly entangled with life. The evil root continues to condition you to become afflicted, miserable. suffer. Because this is what delusion is all about. Ignorance is all about. Self-delusion. When you are deluded, you grasp and cling and hold on to so many things. Not only your body, your mental feeling, your mental perception, your views, your opinion, and all this that you become conscious of, you think they are very real. And you give so much meaning to them. You grasp, you hold, you cling, and you react. That's how you get yourself entangled. Then all of the evil root manifest. When you react, you can either react out of anger, emotional negativity, selfishness, or fear. These are all evil root of all evil. This is the cause of suffering, the Buddha said. So meditation is to train our mind to be aware, to be heedful, to see this evil root. And because of the evil root, your mind has a lot of mental hindrance. The Buddha called it the five mental hindrance, pancha nivaranas. And he said, if you want to understand, why are you not able to meditate? Why are you not peaceful? It is because of this hindrance of mind. He called it the five mental hindrance. You look at the whiteboard in front, on your left. There are five. The Buddha said, sloth and torpor you will. Oh, sorry, sensual desire you will. Sloth and torpor. Restlessness of mind or agitated mind. And the last one is doubt. These are the five mental hindrances. They are called hindrance because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. And once you have them, you cannot meditate. And you ask yourself throughout the day, human being, constantly arise this hindrance. That's why you are not peaceful. And when you are not peaceful, how can you meditate? That's why to meditate, you must learn how to reverse all these five hindrances. And to reverse this, you need to develop the five spiritual faculty, which is the next category. The Buddha said you must develop your faith, your saddha. Saddha is a Pali word. Faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing how special the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is. And this will develop the very strong confidence in him and his teaching that he will drive you. There is a very strong energy in you. They call virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal to walk the spiritual way or spiritual path to learn his teaching. And when you do that, you will start cultivating. The first thing you cultivate is mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. That's why you must have mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you can never be heedful. Heedfulness is a word that the Buddha constantly used. In Pali, it's called apamada. And heedfulness is very important because the Buddha, under Dhammapada verse 21, explained very clearly. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So if you want to have the spiritual life, if you want to go beyond birth and death, to realize and experience the deathless, you must train your mind to be heedful. Otherwise, you become heedless. A heedless person is very irresponsible. They couldn't care. They are very selfish, very emotional, and full of delusion. That's why they are so heedless. They don't care about others. They don't care about how people feel and think. They, through their own selfishness, they just want things their way. That's why they are very heedless. They just do what they like. Through their own selfishness, through their own emotional negativity and their own delusion. So all this bring about what they call suffering. And the Buddha said, if you are heedless, you are as if dead. Means, although you are still alive, conscious, as a conscious living being, you are conscious of life, but you are not living life. Understand? Because there is no spiritual life. Spiritually, you are dead. Because of that heedlessness, it will condition the evil roots, the hindrance of mind, to become habitual, so strong in you, until you got no chance to liberate your mind, to free your mind. Not even to say liberate your mind. You got no chance to be even peaceful, to be aware, silent within the moment. That's why peace is so difficult to come by for normal human beings. So we are here to train our mind to develop this spiritual faculty to counter the hindrance so that we can be mindful and aware of the evil roots and how our mind gets deluded and how it stirs and conditions our attachment, clinging and grasping that condition your suffering and misery. So I will talk a little bit about the benefits of meditation before I give you instruction to meditate. Because today a lot of you went for the retreat. I hope you all understand what you are doing there. Because if you go for a retreat and you don't understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, and you don't understand what is happening, or in the name of meditation, you don't know what is going on. Means you don't understand what you do. That can be very dangerous. That's why understanding is very important. So we are here to train our mind to be aware, to be heedful, so that this spiritual faculty can be developed to counter the five hindrances. And through that, you can become aware of your evil roots, and you can purify and cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path. The immediate benefit of meditation is very easy to understand. You look at this whiteboard. I have actually written now 6. These are the basic benefits. There can be a lot more. This will give you the understanding of why you must train your mind to develop this meditation. This so-called Vipassana meditation or mindfulness-based meditation, sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness. It also covers the 4 foundations of mindfulness, satipatthana practices. When you train your mind to be aware and heedful, it does not think. It is just silent because it is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing. So when you can do that, your mind becomes very peaceful, very quiet. That's why inner peace immediately arises. So the first very important tangible benefit of meditation is inner peace. And this is the most important byproduct of Vipassana meditation. In life, as you all have experienced, most of you, there are a lot of moments of unhappiness, worry, anxiety, a lot of suffering, because there are many things that can make life pretty miserable. So when you are disturbed, agitated, full of fear, worry, anxiety, or problems, what do you do? You want solution, you cannot get it, because your mind is so agitated, restless, so full of fear, worry, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety. And this is what restlessness of mind is all about. When you are fearful, worrying, you become restless, and it's not peaceful. So you try to be peaceful, you try to calm yourself down so that you have clarity of mind to understand what is going on, but you cannot, and that is really suffering. Then a lot of people become so entangled with the thought, they develop what they call depression. Because the fear becomes so strong, the worry becomes so strong, the anxiety becomes so strong, and they think too much. So the thought becomes obsessive, understand? Then it becomes compulsive, then it becomes intrusive. That's why you heard of OCD, Obsessive, compulsive disorder. And these people have to see psychiatry because they think psychiatry can solve their problem. But good psychiatrists can. Don't get me wrong. There are some who are very good. But most of their solution may not be something permanent that can fix you completely. They can give you medication, counsel you, and advise you, and make you better. But most of them are not permanent fix. You have to witness them and experience them to understand what all this is. So in a way, I was lucky because of the meditative training and my past. So I was able to understand all this. So when you have inner peace, your agitated mind, your fear, worry, anxiety, at least you got a solution to it. So every time you have a problem, you have this fear, worry, anxiety, you go somewhere quiet, you sit down and silence your mind because you have learned the meditation. Then you become peaceful, mindful, silent and aware within. And this state is very beautiful, because this calmness, this inner peace will bring about a type of inner well-being in you. When you are peaceful and very calm, your bodily self feel very good, understand? They also calm down. The nervousness, the fear, the anxiety, the negative energy, the negative tendency that releases that type of what they call hormones. You know what is hormone, is it? They actually magnify. So this fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness or depressive energy, they're very negative, and they make you miserable. And this will cause yourself to mutate, and you will develop a lot of sickness. So meditation can reverse all this to an inner peace that can bring about beautiful vibration. Then you combine your loving kindness and metta, the mind becomes very peaceful, very quiet, full of well-being, and full of inner peace. And because of that, all these cells develop positive energy. Then the immune system will be raised. Then you can recover from your mental problem, your physical sickness, and all those things. Of course, if you need medication, surgery, or what to assist further, you should go for it. Because there are certain medical treatment or practices that are very, very useful and very efficient. Especially nowadays, the surgical advancement, they can do very good, what they call accurate surgery. But certain type of treatment, you have to be careful, like chemotherapy or something. You must understand what you are going through. Otherwise, it's not easy to go through them. Okay, now I will go further into the other benefit. When you have inner peace and inner well-being, these are temporary solutions, understand not? Because after that, you have to come out and live your life, correct not? So what are you going to do? You don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding. You will entangle back, your problem will still be there. But at least now you can find peace. Then you go back with a clarity of mind. You try to see what are your options, what can you do. Then you apply Noble Eightfold Path. It helps you. It can solve some of your mundane problems, understand, or immediate problem. But to really free your mind, liberate your mind, you need to go into the meditation to develop the wisdom. That's why the third benefit is, from inner peace and inner well-being, you have clarity of mind. This mind that is mindful, aware, without thought, has clarity. Then you can see things as they are. When you have clarity, you make better decisions. You understand the situation better. Then you know how to respond accordingly. A person with a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness of mind cannot respond effectively, understand? Because you are so confused. Your mind is so confused and deluded. There is no clarity. But with clarity and with the Dhamma, you have this ability to actually see clearly. And when you understand what the Buddha's word meant, then you devote your sincerity and perseverance to cultivate. The Dhamma will arise in you. And you will understand his teaching. Through this inner peace, inner well-being, and clarity of mind, the wisdom can come about because you can use this mind to develop the meditation to arise that wisdom. Once the wisdom is there, you got no more problem. All of your suffering ceases to be. This is the most beautiful benefits of meditation. This is number one. So after that, the byproduct of it is you can sleep very well. No more problem with insomnia. A lot of people with depression, life, mental problem. All of life problem can be very, very traumatic. Health problem, financial problem, career problem, relationship problem, and all those police case and all those things, they can be very real. When you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when there is separation, these are very severe realities that can make you miserable. Then the result is you become so full of fear, worry, anxiety, and your mind so restless, you got problem even trying to sleep. That's why insomnia leading to great pain. So when this happens, you find to have some moments of good sleep is so difficult. That's why meditation can help in this aspect. Then when you have this ability to sleep well, you can also study well. You can also have the clarity of mind to be very efficient in whatever you do in your life. So this is something that you have to actually develop your own understanding so that you will know the importance of training your mind to develop this meditation. So this is the summary. So now we start. I will teach you how to train your mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. I will off the light just to make the environment better. Then I will give you instruction on how to train your mind, how to reverse this heedless thinking, this hindrance, through a combination of techniques and method. We will use the mind sweeping method combined with metta, then we do anapanasati to train our mind to be mindful. I will give you the instruction. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. Just relax your body and mind, silent, mentally, physically, just relax and silent your mind. Then maintain a lot of calmness and joy within your heart. You can call to mind the great loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha. Absorb them in. Feel the peace and calmness within you. Make sure you got a stable posture, backbone straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then you close your eye. Then you feel, don't think, feel. You try to feel your forehead. Maintain awareness at your forehead. Then you feel if there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just release them all. You can silently recite, relax, relax, and relax. You know how to relax, huh? Just relax. Means don't hold on to anything. Any tension, any tightness, you just relax it. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle. After a tired day, your eye is actually quite tired. Excuse me. I need to off the phone. Oh, sorry. Where is my wife? Hong. Asiong ka fu tonight come to our house, I forgot. You call the maid, ask her to open the door. Hmm. Just give me a minute. I have to sort this out because I forgot. My brother drove from Penang and Alaska, came and see me. They must be there already. Yeah? Just give me a minute. Okay, I give you the instruction first. You continue to do the relaxation with your eye muscle, because after a tired day, normally you are quite tired. So your eye is quite tense, so you just relax them all. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. Again, do the same. Feel it soothingly relax. Then after that, you can use a skillful means like metta. Metta is loving kindness. You can recite, follow the Buddha's instruction. You can recite like that. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. When you recite well-being and happiness, you must feel your entire body and being having this well-being and happiness within. Then after that, you can radiate loving kindness to yourself. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all danger and harm. May it be calm, may it be peaceful, always. May it too be free of all mental suffering, physical suffering. Free of all negative state of mind, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace within, deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can radiate this same metta to your loved one, somebody that you love, somebody that has affinity with you. Can be your parents, your loved ones, or somebody you have a lot of gratitude, respect, and love. May this loved one of mine to be well and happy, well and happy. Feel yourself from your heart with this metta, radiate this well-being and happiness to them. Then after that, you can wish them well-being and happiness too. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be without mental negativity that can bring about the evil roots. May they always have love, compassion and wisdom deep within their hearts. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within the hearts of all living beings. Then after that, you can relate this same metta to all our Dhamma friends who are meditating here, and all Kayana Mitas, together with all the human and non-humans that are within this vicinity of Suyan's house. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and may all Kayana Mitas, Dhamma friends, co-meditator, may they all to be well, happy and peaceful always. Feel the well-being and peace within and radiate to them. Then may they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, without anger, hatred, jealousy and greed. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate the same loving kindness and metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the entire of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Europe, America, Middle East, and the whole planet, Mother Earth, solar system, our galaxy, then our entire universe. May all beings within the entire existence to be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart and radiate to them all these beings. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mental states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel them soothingly relax. Then after that, you bring your attention to your neck, relax, shoulder, relax, hand, relax, back to shoulder. Then you move your awareness or attention to your chest or your heart area. This is a very important location within your form, your body. This is where the heartbeat is. This is where the pulse of life, they arise and they pass away. This is where the life force is. This is where the, what they call, seat of consciousness is. You just silent your mind and feel. Just aware, feel, no thought. You can detect any vibration or any heartbeat. You just stay silent. Be with it. Then you will become very peaceful and very calm. If you are new, you have not developed this training of mind, then it's okay. You just silent, feel the heart, just relax like you relax your forehead. Then you move this attention down to your stomach, feel, again relax. Then you sweep it down to your abdomen, feel, relax again. Feel yourself completely, physically and mentally relaxed, silent, serene and peaceful, calm. Then you feel your leg, your buttock, again relax, silent everything. When you feel, you don't think. When you don't think, you're very peaceful. So you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method and metta back from the leg, feel, relax. Silent. Feel the buttock, relax, silent. Feel the abdomen, relax, silent. Stomach, do the same. Heart, do the same. Back the shoulder, hand, back the shoulder, neck, relax every part. Facial muscle, relax, eye muscle, forehead. If you want to continue one more round of this mind sweeping method, if you find it soothing, peaceful, you can continue to do. Otherwise, for those who already have enough training, you can now develop the meditation. The Buddha called it Anapanasati. This is initially to train your mind to be mindful of this in and out breath. The object of meditation is your breath. So the Buddha said it's very simple. When you are mindful of your forehead, you feel, you relax. So mindfulness of in and out breath is the same. You feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence your mind and feel. Breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then when your mind detects this breathing, like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware, without the word. The mind and the breath move as one. Then breathing out, you are aware. Continue to develop this training. After a while, this mindfulness will stabilize. Then anapanasati will come into being. Then you will receive the benefits of this anapanasati training. The first immediate benefit is, of course, the piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness born of a mind that is trained, that is already mindful. When you are mindful of the in and out breath without thought, you are naturally very peaceful and very calm. Then piti, or they call spiritual joy or rapture, will arise. You feel very good and you like to meditate. Yeah. But for those who are new, the problem is every time you try to be aware or mindful of this breathing, the thought will come and distract you, make you heedless. You will lose mindfulness. Your mind like wanders off very fast. But don't worry, that is something very natural. Tell yourself, the untrained mind is heedless. That's why it keep on wandering off. It keep on creating thought and thinking. So every time it wanders off, patiently return to the breathing. Just come back to the awareness, train. Like learning how to ride a bicycle. This is even easier. Riding a bicycle, you have to fall down anytime. This one, no need. It just wander off, then you bring it back. Expect this to happen many, many times. But if you are patient enough and perseverant, this anapanasati will come into being. Then you will like to meditate because the mind will become very peaceful, very soothing, very mindful, silent within. Then continue to develop this inner mindfulness, the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Breathe in and breathe out naturally. Then when this piti arises, it will become more and more calm, more and more peaceful. Then you continue to relax more and more. Then this mindfulness will stabilize. And it will develop into what they call sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state, more peaceful and more calm than piti. Yeah. Then when you realize or experience this sukha, you will feel very good, like very blissful inside. Then you like to meditate. But this one is not an enlightenment factor. This one can trap you, so you have to be careful. You just experience it for what it is, then continue to relax and just silent and aware. Then this piti and what they call sukha will bring about a very deep breathing. The breath will become very fine, very deep, and very peaceful. Yeah. So you continue to train, continue to relax your mind, and continue to experience this spiritual faculty of sati, leading to the piti, the enlightenment factor of piti. Then when sukha arises, let it be. Then when you continue to relax and silent, this sukha become more and more refined. Then the long breath will become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, like finally no more breathing. And then you will experience tranquility or pasati. Pasati is a still mind, silent mind, tranquil mind. And this is the meditative mind that you try to train. So you continue to develop this. And when you are able to have this silent mind, you just silent everything and relax. The anapanasati will become very calm, very peaceful, very still. Like no more breathing. During this moment, don't panic. Just silent. Continue to relax. Continue to be aware, mindful. Then this silent mind, it will suddenly become transformed. You will start to feel that this mind is so different. Wherever you maintain your attention, that mindfulness is very sharp. So this silent mind that enters pasati will enable you to develop this ability to be aware within the mind itself. Means the mind develops sati. When this happens, technically, you don't need an object of meditation anymore. Because your mind is already silent, peaceful, tranquil and still. You don't need to hold on to anything. It just stay there. And when you have this, you just silent everything and feel your heart. If you feel your breathing, the subtle breathing will come back to you, like you can feel them. Initially, like no more breathing, but the subtle breathing will come back. So you continue to train yourself. Then after that, you silent everything. Then when you are silent, that mind will be aware of everything that is going on within your form and mind. Use that meditative mind or silent mind in sati, in pasati, to develop the vipassana wisdom. Okay, with this, I will leave you to meditate. Then after that, I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. After you hear the bell, you can either continue to meditate if you are in a very good state of mind. Otherwise, you can slowly and mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our session 2. Okay, now you can meditate. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Try to stabilize this trained mind. This is the mind state that you need to develop the real meditation in life itself. This form of meditation is to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, so that you can develop this meditative state to allow you to live life, to meditate in the midst of life. And that is the real meditation. The daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, is the real meditation. Whatever meditation you do, you cannot maintain this type of mindfulness in daily life. You can never cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, and you can never realize the true Dhamma, because Noble Eightfold Path is the real meditation. And without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot cope with life, because your six sense door, they are very, very active, very fast. They arise and they pass away. Without a very stable daily mindfulness or heedfulness, you cannot cope. Okay, I will on the light. You wait for a while. Daily mindfulness is very important. It's described by the Buddha under Kayanupassana, the third category of cultivation. He said the first training is develop anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. And it is here that you train your mind to be aware, mindful, heedful. When you are aware of your breath, you are actually within the moment in awareness, because your breathing is always within the moment. So when you are within the moment and in awareness, there is no thought. That's why you can become peaceful and mindful. The moment this mind heedlessly wander off and think, it will be preoccupied with sense experience. It will create thought, stirring of mind, fear, worry, anxiety, the hindrance, everything come to be. Then it can condition you to be heedless, because when that happens, you become heedless. You are no longer mindful, no longer aware, no longer within the moment to understand what is going on. The clarity of mind is gone. That's why mindfulness leading to heedfulness is very important. So this is what you need to understand. Then when you can maintain this state of inner peace, inner awareness and mindfulness to cultivate the what they call the next category of Kayanupassana practice. The Buddha say after you develop anapanasati, when you are already heedful, you must be aware of the four posture. Walking, you must be aware, standing, aware, lying down, aware, sitting, also aware. Then you move on to sati sampajana, the third category of practice, the daily mindfulness, or mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. That is sati sampajana. So you cannot do that. The initial wisdom cannot arise. The real cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path cannot come to be. You don't have a mind that can cope with the reality of life, because when you are active in life, no longer in the form of sitting meditation, your senses are active. You have to walk around, you have to drive, you have to move, you have to do a lot of things. So your senses are all active. And every moment of sense experience, there is a lot of things that that arise and pass away, including your delusion that stir your mind, react, and create all the hindrance. If you don't have heedfulness and mindfulness, you cannot cope. They actually arise and pass away so fast. That's why, unless you can be heedful and mindful throughout the day, to anchor your mind in that silent mode, it is very difficult to be in the meditative state of peace and calm. Without that, you cannot see your mental intention. You cannot see your own delusion, how you get stirred into confusion, how you get yourself entangled with sense experience, with the feeling that arises, with the perception that you come to perceive, and with the thing that you become conscious of. The aggregates of mind are so active. Then when you don't have wisdom to insight clearly into all phenomena, including your own form and mind, you are deluded by the physical form and the consciousness that is trapped inside. You think you are real. You think there's a human being inside there, living life, experiencing life, thinking, planning, worrying, doing this, doing that. This is delusion, sakkayadity. That's why it conditions a lot of suffering. So this is a very important summary of the complete meditation. Okay, now we come to the second session. This is a reporting session. You can report your meditation. Then you can ask me any question related to meditation, to the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here in the teaching to help you understand life, to help you overcome all of your problems and suffering of life. So do make use of this second session. We call it the Q&A. Okay, now we open it up. First, before I forgot, anybody want to share your retreat experience at Cameron? Nobody? Maybe the Singapore friend. Thank you so much. Where's the mic? The wireless. Pass this one over. I forgot your name. Oh, Paul. Frankie. Yeah, Sadhu. I rejoice. Yes.
Yeah, so, I come from Singapore.
Yeah.
I have been meditating for maybe seriously for the last 5 years after I retired.
Oh, sadhu.
almost on a daily basis, I meditate in the morning.
Sadhu.
So I learned various methods, but the latest one that I have been using is more on the relaxation, which I learned from Mahayana monk, a Zen monk. He is from the Dharma Drum Hill lineage under Sen Yen Fa Si.
Hua Gu San.
So this venerable is Guo Jun Fa Si, in Mahabodhi Monastery.
Sadhu.
So I've been training under him for about 2.5 years now. Yeah.
Very good.
So for me, I've tried various types of meditation methods. But I settled for this relaxation one, the Zen one, which is a lot more suitable for me. So, okay, now, so that's the background. So when I was up in the Cameron Highland retreat, I had three out of the 8 days of meditation. I think I had three days. I experienced very intense PT.
Sadhu.
And then followed by the sukha, as you said, the breathing. Somehow it feels like the oxygen, extra lung capacity has turned on.
You go so, deep.
Very deep in and out. So average, I would say that typically we may be breathing like for 1 minute, it could be more than 10, 20 breaths. But when you reach that state, it's like only 5 or 6 breaths in a minute.
Sometimes within 1 minute, only 1 breath.
Yes, that's right. So what, but then the,
my there's problem, a lot of clarity.
Yes,
there's a lot of clarity.
But my problem, it seems that I feel contented with that and then I'll get out of it. So I just come out of meditation. So what is the reason for that?
Okay, very good question. You see, that's why I mentioned earlier on, I don't know how many of you got what I said. I said when you go for meditation or retreat, you must understand what is meditation? What is it that you are doing in the name of meditation when you are there? And so on. That's why that one will help a lot. So your question is very good because very relevant. A lot of people, they actually think meditation is a way of developing calmness and peace, then the spiritual joy, the pity, everything. And to them, that is already very good. That's why, like you say, very contented, very happy, because at that moment, you're very peaceful. But this type of peace is only one of the byproducts of a trained mind. Understand? And peace can come by, like I explained just now. If you know how to meditate, how to train, like our brother Frankie Tan, which is very good because he can solve his normal problem already. Whenever he's not peaceful, he can just go to a quiet place, sit and relax, do relaxation. Then I don't know whether he do anapanasati or not, because his breathing calm. So finally, it's anapanasati. So it combine relaxation to anapanasati, which is what we do. You relax your body and mind. You do mind sweeping method. You know the advantages of mind sweeping method? Because your mind has been heedless throughout the day. Understand? When you are not a cultivator, when you are not a meditator who understand how to train the mind to be heedful, when you don't have daily mindfulness, even you meditate constantly, but in the daily life you cannot be mindful, you are not heedful. That's why you cannot be peaceful. That's why you need to go back to a quiet place to be peaceful. But you can do that. You are already peaceful in the midst of life. So what is happening? Most people cannot do that. So they train their mind to have this ability to develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being. That's why, like Frankie Tan said, this is already very good. He is very contented. That's why he just come out of it. So this is one of the good byproducts of meditation that can make you peaceful. But life is more than just peace within those moments. Understand? You can only be peaceful when you isolate yourself. This is the one type of peace that the Buddha talked about too. First he said, kaya vivika, means self-renunciation. You become a monk, you become peaceful, because the worldly thing doesn't affect you anymore. Understand? You renounce to go for, to seek the holy life, the spiritual life, so that you can focus on cultivation. Then you have to play your part, your role as a monk. That's why you go for pindapat. You do your whatever, puja, and help out in the monastery. In return, food and shelter is offered to you. And like the Buddha said, we have to be worthy of the food and the shelter, to be worthy of whatever that is offered. So that is your duty, understand, as a monk. So when you have all this understanding, you not only develop the inner peace and inner calmness and inner well-being and clarity of mind. When you have all this, you should develop wisdom. End of the day, the Buddha said, it is wisdom that free, nothing else. So that's why meditation is about developing this inner peace, leading to the clarity of mind, to insight into phenomena, to develop the wisdom that will allow you to free your mind and liberate your mind in life itself, no matter what happens. So when you understand that this is the main intent and purpose of the Buddhist meditation, means the Buddha's teaching, that's why you need to realize the Four Noble Truths. You need to realize the universal characteristic leading to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. So these are very useful. So when you develop meditation, it is very conducive you go to a quiet place to train yourself, like a retreat, or a place where you can meditate in the formal posture. Because you can't even meditate and train yourself in a formal posture, it's very difficult to do it in life. So meditation is about understanding. Understanding that you come to a formal meditation place to train so that this mind can be stable, can have inner awareness, inner peace and mindfulness, so that we can use this heedful mind that the Buddha called to cultivate the real meditation in life itself. Because you look at the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Out of the Four Noble Truths, which one talks about meditation? Which one? We go through one by one. First one talk about what? The Noble Truth of suffering, which is the eight condition, the reality of life. And the Buddha said, this is the Noble Truth, he said. There are eight conditions in this world, which are life, reality. He said, each and every one of us living beings, not only human beings, if we live long enough, we have to confront this reality of life and existence. And if we don't have the wisdom, you will be afflicted. Suffering will arise. This is a noble truth. And what are they? He said, they are birth, old age, sickness and death. So under modern society, we call it health problem, getting old problem, separation or death problem. Then the fifth one is, the Buddha said, when conditions is to be separation from loved one and possession that you hold on to dearly can happen. The thing that you think you own, your wealth, your property, your business, your money, and everything that you hold on to dearly, when conditions cease to be, they will separate from you or you will lose them. Either they go before you go, or when your breath stops, you cease to own anything. So when separation happens, whether it's death, divorce, or relationship breakdown, or forced separation, all this can bring about very traumatic suffering to living beings. Then he said, as you go through life, you will encounter certain people that is not easy to be with. That's why he said, when you meet people whom you don't like, you don't have wisdom, suffering is the result. Then the seventh one is when you cannot get what you want, is it? Because in life, you cannot see your own craving, your own desire, your own views and opinion. You want things your way. When you cannot get what you want, what happens? You become unhappy. You become afflicted. You become sad. Sometimes, very unhappy. Then, the other important aspect of this is, the Buddha said, when your expectations are not met, you also can become very miserable. Expectation is also a type of craving. Like you expect to be promoted, you didn't get. Somebody which you think doesn't deserve get it. I tell you, you can be very, very miserable and unhappy. Sometimes jealousy, envy, sadness, anger, emotion. Then the other one is, you see, especially among siblings, loved ones, brothers, sisters, children and parents, they have this silent expectation within which you never know. That's why it can lead to a lot of misunderstanding and relationship failure. They expect their loved ones to love them, to understand them. But their thought perceive it differently. They always go and think and project. My friend also come and visit me and help me. My own brother and sister never come and help me. See? Then sometimes they become envious and jealous of the parent. They say, my parent always love my other sibling, their other sibling, praise them, say they were, and didn't love them. That's why these expectations are something that will become very negative and it will develop into a lot of misunderstanding. So when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations are not met, suffering is the result because you don't have the wisdom. So the Buddha said, these are all the realities of life and existence. And the worst is, he said, he summarized all of this suffering. He said, if you were to develop this delusion that you don't understand who you are and what you are, and you deludedly cling and grasp onto this so-called human being, fire aggregate of form and mind, because as a human being, we have a physical form, we have a mental state, a mind, a consciousness inside. And the Buddha has broken it down into four aspects. He said your consciousness can feel hot and cold, can perceive things, can come to arise thought process, emotion, mental states, intention, mental activity, yeah, views and opinion, and all those things. Then the last one, it can become conscious of whatever that arises within your sense door. With the eye, you can become conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. So when consciousness arises, if you don't have wisdom, you deludedly grasp and cling and hold on to these mental states, this feeling, this perception, and this thing that you become conscious of, and even this physical body, the moment you grasp and cling and hold deludedly, thinking that it's you, suffering is the result. Like this body, if you attach, what happened? You worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. That's why it can make you miserable. A lot of fear, a lot of sadness. You can be afflicted. So this is the first noble truth that talks about reality of life and existence, nothing to do with meditation. Then the Buddha continued, he said, there is a cause behind all this suffering, which is the second noble truth. And the cause is none other than your craving, born of your delusions, self-delusion, sakayadity, that condition you to deludedly grasp and hold. That's how you become afflicted. Again, this is the cause. Nothing to do with meditation. And the third one is beautiful. The third noble truth, the Buddha said, this noble truth talks about the possibility of enlightenment. He said, complete cessation from suffering is possible. Enlightenment in the here and the now, realizing Nibbana, is possible. So this third noble truth is very important. He said, suffering need not be when you have developed the wisdom and the enlightenment, leading to the enlightenment that can allow you to develop this ability to realize the cessation of form and mind, leading to the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. This will give you a lot of confidence in his teaching. This will give you a lot of sadha, virya, that will make you determined to go this way. And again, this is not the meditation where he tells you it's possible, it can be done, but he never teach you how to do it. So the fourth noble truth is the most beautiful. So the Buddha said, there is a way, there is a path. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment, the realization of the Nibbana that he talked about. This is the real meditation. And you look at noble eightfold path, what does it constitute? The eight path factors are all related to life. Without this noble eightfold path, you cannot live life. You cannot understand life. It is the noble eightfold path that actually explains to you very clearly, enable you develop the understanding of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. What does noble eightfold path stand for? The first power factor is right view. What is right view? Right view regards to what? The Buddha sometimes call it right understanding. Samadhi is view. When you have right view, you have right understanding. And right view regards to what? He said with regards to the law. The nature's law that governs all of life and existence, especially the spiritual law. The three very important spiritual laws that he described under the Panchaniyamas. The first one is Karma Niyama, law of karma. Second one is Chitta Niyama, law of the mind, that explains to you clearly how you function as a human being, how consciousness together with this form create mental consciousness and its content, and how thought comes to be. how the content of consciousness comes to be, how to delusion this thought and this content of consciousness and cause you all your suffering. All this you will understand. That's why the Citta Niyama is very important. It talks about dependent origination, dwelling. He said, our mind state, they arise and pass away dependent on condition. There is no permanent unchanging entity that you can call a soul or a me or an I that is responsible for your thought process, for your consciousness to arise, for your thinking and all those things. There is he no you, he no me. It's like everything is dependent arising, condition arising, causal phenomena. This form of mind is karmically conditioned out because of this physical form. There is the sense basis. Because of the karmically conditioned consciousness, dependent on this consciousness and the sense basis upon contact, naturally dependent on each other, it arises. That's why in the dependent origin, you start with ignorant avijja, paccaya sankhara. That's how mental sankhara come to be. Mental activity, thinking, response, and reaction come to be. Then how, when you do the thinking, the mind make contact. Mental contact, mind as an organ, what happened upon contact? Like physics experiment, switch on, light bulb, you become conscious. So mental consciousness come to be. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, the mental consciousness. And within the mental consciousness, you have your five aggregate of form and mind, namarupa. That's why sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa. It's very straightforward. Then dependent on this form and mind, namarupa, the five aggregate mental, the sense basis must be there, otherwise they cannot arise. Dependent on sense basis, contact arise. When contact arise, consciousness and feeling simultaneously arise. That's why feeling condition craving, craving condition grasping, grasping condition becoming, and becoming condition birth. That's how with birth, the whole mass of suffering comes to be. So this dependent origination under Citta Niyama is what you need to see in your meditation. Through your mindfulness and your heedfulness, every moment of sense experience, you will see the link very clearly. And you will understand that it's not the three period of time. It's every moment, every instant of your sense experience. This dependent origination is the most powerful understanding. Then you will know what the Buddha meant by anatta, empty nature, non-self and all those things. That's why without this heedfulness and mindfulness, you cannot see. And the last one is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama is about all the essential Dhamma or the teaching that the Buddha taught, the truth. And the essence of it is the Four Noble Truth. That's why finally it's the Four Noble Truth. You have to develop the three turning to develop the wisdom to awaken. So with right view, you understand all this nature's law, the spiritual law that governs life and existence. That's how the advice of the Buddha come about. He said, when you understand this law of karma, he already told the monk, every day you must contemplate. The fifth of the five daily contemplations. You must contemplate clearly that each and every living being, not only human being, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are all what we are because of our karma. So with this right view, you will really, really become heedful. Because when you understand that almost all of your life, 99.999% is dependent on karma. Because we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of karma. So what must you do? You must take care of karma, isn't it? How to take care of karma? You must train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, so that your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought and livelihood are in accordance with the Dhamma, so that you don't heedlessly create evil roots and violate the karma. So if you do that, what happens? That's why you have to train your mind to be heedful, to take care of mind. Like the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So this famous twin verse of Dhammapada, verse 1 and 2, will explain to you clearly why you have to be heedful. He said, if we are heedless, we couldn't bother about life. We are so heedless that we do not really care about this mind. Then we will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind. That will condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happened? The Buddha said, suffering will follow, like the wheel that follows the hood, is it? That's how you become afflicted. But if you have wisdom, if you intend on heedfulness, he said, if you train your mind, because you know mind is chief, forerunner of all things and the law of karma, then what happens is you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind, with a wholesome mind that is free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. As such a being, he said, happiness will follow them like the shadow that ever leaves them. So now you realize it's so easy to be happy and peaceful. You just have to determine to train your mind to be heedful. Avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Then Dhammapada verse 2 will arise. Then you know how to avoid evil, do good. And this is what the advice of the Buddha is all about. The famous Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyutapanang etang buddhana sasana. So the Buddha explained very clearly, he says, sabbe is all. Pavasa is evil. Akaranang, you have to avoid all evil. Why? So that you take care of karma. Understand? Karma is what? You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You are born of it, had to eat condition, supported by it. So if you don't avoid all evil, all this is going to come back to you. And you cannot blame anybody for your life situation. Because this is a nature's law. Nobody is free of it unless you have wisdom. Then you can be free of karma. Without wisdom, it's very difficult. So this understanding, the right view regards the law of karma, is already so powerful. It will already lead you to understand why the Buddha's advice is like that. You have to avoid all evil. Then you have to do good. Do good means what? Develop wholesomeness, develop virtue, develop all the kindness, gentleness, love, compassion, and wisdom to enable you to have wholesomeness, virtue, leading to blessing to all, so that you are incapable of negativity. That's why right view with regards to the law of karma will lead to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort to purify your thought. When there is wrong thought, I already explained to you what is wrong thought. Thought that condition your evil roots. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, depression. That's why you become afflicted and miserable. You always think the wrong thought. Understand? Your thought is full of what? Fear, worry, anxiety. That's why it's a mental hindrance. Why do you hold on to other things? Where you think you have a problem. Understand? That's why when you perceive life situation without wisdom, means you perceive them with negativity and fear. All of your fear, worry, anxiety is going to trigger off your mental restlessness, mental agitation. Then this thought, if you continue to allow it to proliferate without wisdom and heedfulness, it will become so compulsive and so what they call obsessive, because that deep fear, that deep worry and anxiety will condition your thought to become like that. That's why you become obsessive with what you think, understand? Then it's so compulsive, understand? Then it keep on intruding into your mind because you hold on to it, you worry about it. That's why it become a cocoon. Until you become depressed, because all of your thinking is like that one. That's why you have a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. You cannot sleep because this thought keeps on going. That's why you go to the doctor, the psychiatrist. The first thing they do is calm you down. give you medication, tranquilizer, balance your hormone imbalance and all those things. Initially it helps, but after a while you will become dependent. And when you become dependent, what happens? Your anxiety, your fear is so strong. Just like drug addict, dependent on that drug. So if you become dependent, very difficult to free. Understand? That's how you must develop understanding and wisdom through this meditation to free. So it brings us back to this important point about meditation. You must have this right view leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and right effort to purify your thought. But when it comes to the last advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil to good, purify your mind. When it comes to purification of mind, he is talking about the true mind. He is not talking about the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So when you want to do that, you don't use thought anymore. You don't use four right effort anymore. You go direct into sati, mindfulness, awareness. That's why he talked about the four foundations of mindfulness, satipatthana. That's how this daily mindfulness come in. Without this daily mindfulness, there is no silent mind that can see things as they are, beyond thought, beyond time. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko is timeless. The Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till then. So sanditiko leading to akaliko, then this Dhamma stand up to investigation. Is it ahipasiko? Then this Dhamma is opanaiko, leading inward into the heart. Then pachetang veditatpo vinohiti can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. So when you have this understanding of his teaching, then you realize that true wisdom can only arise through training the mind to be mindful. That's why when you are mindful, you can develop the meditation. So the four foundations of mindfulness come from here. When you are ever mindful to cultivate this four foundations of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path, it will bring about heedfulness. That's why heedfulness is a combination of mindfulness and Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, which will include the four foundations of mindfulness. So that's why the Buddha, before he died, he repeated and reminded the monk, Apahamadena Sampadena, strive on with heedfulness, do not be heedless. So this is the important message. So you are indeed very fortunate because you are born during this beautiful era of the Buddha Sasana. Then you have the condition to understand this teaching. You should determine sincerely, and really, really devote all of your energy and your understanding towards cultivating this wisdom, because it will make a big difference to your life. So coming back to the question is very straightforward now, isn't it? Instead of being satisfied with just inner peace, inner well-being and calmness, which is very good, the first type of peace, born of what they call seclusion. The mind that is in seclusion, not affected by the world, is peaceful, understand? But this type of peace, you cannot live it, understand? You cannot come out into society. Because when you come out into society, you have to meet up with society and the people. Then what happened? You realize without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot be peaceful. What is Noble Eightfold Path? Right view in regards to what? The law that governs life and existence. That's why this wisdom and understanding must be there. Otherwise, you don't know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good. How do we avoid all evil? The Buddha's prescription is what? No, keep the precept. Because if you violate the precept, they are evil action and deeds and thought process. You check the precept. Who are the one that can violate the precept? Like the first precept of killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who do that? Deluded people, understand? Selfish people, angry people, emotional people. And these are the people, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Otherwise, they cannot harm and kill. Stealing also same. Sexual misconduct also same. Telling lie, all the wrong speech also same. Because they are selfish, understand not? Then they are deluded. Then sometimes they are very emotional. Out of fear, they do a lot of these things. Fear of being caught and all these things. Then you partake intoxicantly because you don't know how to actually live life. You try to forget about your suffering, your sorrow. Then what happens? You go and drink. You go and intoxicate yourself thinking that you can knock yourself off and become peaceful for a while. But next moment or next day when you wake up, you got hangover and all those problems. And you have not solved your problem. Worse still, you have to confront them again. That's why it's not a solution to go for all those things. You only need to understand that you need to train this mind to be heedful, to develop the meditation leading to the wisdom to free. Then in life, what must you do? You must know how to arise the right thought so that there is no wrong thought to make you miserable, fearful, and afflicted. Then you must have the ability to communicate in life. Understand? That's why there is right speech or right communication. You must have the wisdom and the tactfulness to arise the gentle, pleasant, and good speeches that leads to love, compassion, harmony, happiness, and joy. Not the type of speech that leads to all the conflict, the argument, the unhappiness. You speak so harshly, the hurtful speech, the angry speech, the violent speech, the very unrefined type of speech. When you start to do all those backbiting, telling various type of lies, trying to deceive and cheat people, those are very, very negative speech. That's why you don't have noble eightfold path. You become not only uncivilized, you become heedless. You create a lot of negativity. You create a lot of misunderstanding and conflict. You harm yourself, you hurt yourself, and when you hit out, you harm others and hurt others. Who suffer? You suffer, your loved ones suffer. People who have relation with you suffer. Then all of your action, you don't know how to act. Wrong action. Wrong action means you violate most of your karma. Stealing, killing, sexual misconduct, all these are action. Understand? So all these will lead to downfall, lead to negative karma. Then the right view with regards to this law of karma, you don't every day reflect and contemplate, you don't understand life. You will get yourself entangled with life. So because of that, you look at Noble Eightfold Path, it's so beautiful. Right understanding or right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right mindfulness. Then you have right livelihood. The way you live your life is so noble. Following Noble Eightfold Path means you have noble qualities. You are very noble in your action, speech, and thought process. Very noble in your understanding of life. And you have good understanding leading to all the wisdom. Then you have noble right effort to purify all of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Then you got this mindfulness or heedfulness to develop this understanding and wisdom so that you can really understand life, so that you can free from all the so-called realities of life and existence, so that you can confront them without having any problem, without any affliction, so that you are always peaceful, happy, and full of joy. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. You start to understand life so clearly, and there is so much joy towards living. That's why Noble Eightfold Path can transform you character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. You become a totally different human being. You become a noble one, very noble in all the Noble Eightfold Path factor. That's why you are beautiful. Then the right mindfulness leading to the heedfulness and the samadhi will develop the wisdom to awaken. So this is the power of Noble Eightfold Path. And this is what the meditation is.
I'd like to interrupt you for a while.
Okay.
You mentioned about the sila is important to follow, but I think knowing the sila, as my sir, is
yes,
easy.
Yeah.
But as you know, sometimes the temptation is so strong.
Yes.
Even though you know, but you still fall for it.
Okay.
So how do you cultivate?
Oh, very good.
Okay?
Good question. Yeah.
To come to a state where you know and you can defend and fight against it.
Very good question. This one, a lot of meditators used to tell me. He said, "Brother Joe, we know we cannot do. We know anger no good, not supposed to get angry, but we still get angry. So we know we are not supposed to be selfish, but I'm a human being, you know. I got flesh and blood, you know. My son, you know. My loved one, you know. How can I not be selfish?" So what are you going to do? The only thing I ask him is very simple. I say, your life, you decide how you want to live. If you are not serious about life, then what you do? You justify your action. Just like Noble Evopa. They say, Buddha say middle way, you know, Brother Teo. So I can drink a little bit, middle way. I can lie a little bit. Then when you start to do things like that, you are, first, you are not being sincere. You try to interpret the teaching to suit you. What is behind? Your action is out of what? Selfishness. Because you want to justify things that you want to do. Understand? Which you know is not right. Means you are not serious. Because it's a nature's law, nothing to do with me. Your life, you decide. I say, the Buddha's teaching is very simple. He tells you Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 23. The famous advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183, is your life, you decide. Because you hold the key. Each and every one of us hold the key to our own life destiny, correct or not? To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely your decision, your choice. Understand? So choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Why are you not happy? Because you have craving. You have delusion. You want things your way. Understand? You want to have all those fun. Understand? You want to cheat on your wife. You want to cheat on people. That's why you have all this selfishness. Delusion that condition you to act differently. So it's not a question of in life is so difficult to keep the precept. You think the Buddha want to burden you with precept? Yeah? The salesman tell me worst thing. Oh. He said, "Brother, I'm a salesman. No, how can I not tell lies? How can I get any sale by being truthful?" I say, I have been through the career path. I have done business. I never lie. And yet I got a lot of sales and a lot of business. People trust me. Understand? And even I have worked with certain MD, managing director, or certain CEO. They are very difficult to deal with. I got one, the last one, the MD of the listed company I work with. You know, his famous song is what? Frank Sinatra. My Way. And he can sing on the annual dinner 9 times. And you know, people like that, his way, no other way. And I was so surprised, you know, when I went in, I didn't know he was like that, you know. But he was a totally different person when he talked to me and deal with me. He never followed the advice. He followed my advice. he listened to me, and he did a lot of things following what I tell him. And I was also equally surprised. Later on, when I was told, then I don't believe until end of dinner. Oh, he really go out and sing that song. And he know the lyrics, each and every one very clearly. Want to do it my way. So, these are the things that you have to understand, because life is not that. Understand? When you are not serious about life, you cannot change. You see, when we talk about happiness, when we talk about suffering, what does it demands for you to actually free from suffering and develop the ability to have happiness and joy? You need wisdom, is it? And wisdom is an understanding that you must cultivate. And like I said, you think the Buddha want to make you difficult, create the precept for you to become like burden you. It is out of love and compassion for living being that he advised you to keep your precept. You know those who don't keep their precept, what happened? Dhammapada was one. Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that followed the hood. So the precept you read clearly, what the meaning is, you will understand the intention of the Buddha. It is out of love and compassion for you he introduced this precept. That's why it's phrased this verse. This way, panatipata viramani sikapada samadhiyami. What is the meaning? Yeah? We undertake the training rule to abstain. He know you cannot do one. That's why you abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living being. You undertake the training rule means what? You determine to train yourself not to violate. Understand? Because you know this is right view. If I violate means what? If I kill, I harm, means what? I create negative karma. Negative karma means what? You reap what you sow. You are born on your karma, head to your karma, kandiya, supported by your karma. So what happened? When you kill somebody and harm somebody, when there is condition, whether this life or future life, people will kill you and harm you. Understand? That's why it's out of compassion and love for you that you have to keep this precept. That's why he used the word sabbe. He didn't even say avoid evil, no. He said all evil you must avoid. But when it comes to wholesomeness, he never said all. He never used the sabbe kusalesa upasamada. He just said kusalesa upasamadana. Whatever wholesomeness you can do, have the condition to do, you just do. He never used the word sabbe. No. But the evil, he said sabbe all. Papasa akarana. That's why you see the Buddha is so precise and so wise. You don't play a fool with the Buddha. Then when you understand him, you really have a lot of respect and gratitude for him. He is such a great teacher. And his words are so powerful, so meaningful. So precept is to train you. Train you means what? I need to be heedful. I need to be mindful in order to keep this precept. How can I be heedful? I have to train my mind to be ever mindful of my mental intention, of my wrong view and my wrong thought, so that I doesn't violate this precept. Understand? That's why it's a training rule. It's supposed to support you in your cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. But you think it's a burden. You think the Buddha tried to make life difficult for you. That's why you think negatively, selfishly. You should have gratitude towards the Buddha for his great wisdom, love and compassion for you that he has given you this advice. That's why the tree turning is very beautiful. You must reflect and contemplate deep into it. The second turning especially. You know the second turning? The first noble truth is that this noble truth of suffering, the eight condition, is to be understood. The key word is understood. He never say to be cultivated. But when it comes to the fourth noble truth, the second turning, what did he say? This noble eightfold path, which is the path that leads to the cessation of all suffering, is to be cultivated. Understanding it is not enough. I know, but I cannot do. I cannot live that reality. There is knowledge cannot apply. Understand? Like stock market, I always give this example. Everybody know very easy to make money from stock market. Tun Tan Siew Sin, the late Tun, the finance minister, he very simple. People ask him, this year budget, how it affect the stock market. He said, no need to know. You just understand the very important basis of stock market investment. Buy low, sell high. You should make money. You never lose. But what happened? Everybody know buy low, sell high, I make money. But how come so many people lost money? Because they never sell low. They buy high. And out of fear, they sell low. Why they buy high? Out of greed. they go and chase the stock. That's how emotion, your greed and your fear, create the delusion for you to do the opposite of what you're supposed to do. Everybody knows that. Buy low, sell high, make money. But how come in real life you cannot? Because you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety, you have selfishness, you have greed. Without greed, without fear, with understanding, you are beautiful. Without fear, without selfishness, you are beautiful. Without the emotional negativity, you are beautiful. That's why avoid all evil. Without evil, you are beautiful. You are really a saint. That's why the saints are the noble ones, the Aryas, the enlightened ones. Almost 10:30 already. Did I answer your question? Okay, yeah. So another 1-2 minutes, what you want to do? I was told by Sui An, he sent through the WhatsApp, he said there are 2 persons that need our metta and help. One of them is Lily. Is Lily here? Lily's husband, I think. Huh? Oh, she's not here. I think he is undergoing a surgery or what? Back operation, surgery. So we will send him some metta. The husband happened to be our university mate. Then the other sister, Kayana Mita friend, is Claire. She used to come here, remember the old lady with the walking tool, I think, the support. Her leg was quite weak. Then recently, I think, he got to go back to Penang, for treatment, something to do with old age and all that. She got a stroke, a minor stroke, I think. So now her speech is, like, according to the son, I saw the message, a little bit slur. So the son also sometimes can get what she said, but sometimes cannot. So we will invoke the power of merits to help them, because there is affinity, okay? Okay, now we will do that before we do our closing puja. We recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed and cultivated over the last 2 hours or so. We have developed the puja, the spiritual faculty. We have paid respect to the Buddha. We have renewed our precepts. We have developed the meditation. We have listened to the Dhamma, straightened our views. Then we are going to rejoice, and we are going to share merit, transfer merits to all. Then a lot of us has provided service to the Buddhist community, help out in organizing the various retreats and all these things. And a lot of people has also contributed to their generosity to help out in whatever way, building fund, dana, and all sorts of contribution towards the wholesomeness of the community and all those wholesome activity that can bring about goodness and wholesomeness to humanity and mankind. We together rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then by the power of this wholesomeness and goodness that we have developed, may it bring about the causes and conditions for our Lily's husband, Brother Lo Su Chen, which is our university mate, and also Claire, to recover from their whatever disease or sickness or operation, so that they may recover to good health and able to continue with their normal and good life again. Then may they all too be blessed with goodness, wholesomeness, and peace deep within their hearts. Then with this, hopefully, it can also bring about the causes and conditions for you all to realize your good and noble wishes, so that whatever you want or aspire for in this life, you can realize them. The reason why I say good and noble is good is for the good things that you want in life, understand? Noble is for your spiritual journey. your noble intention to aspire for enlightenment and all those things. That's why when I make aspiration for you, good and noble wish, it should cover quite a complete range of what you need as a living being. Okay, we will rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now I will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we invoke the what they call blessings for our country or nation. Then you make your aspiration again. Those who know how to recite, you can recite after me. Those who are maybe not familiar, you just listen to the English translation. Silence your mind and just rejoice. Share your merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Ittavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to a departed relative and those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Deva satukalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you make aspiration for your own future. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. Then we end.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Just a quick one. We are planning Brother Teo's 2014 retreat on 22nd of March to 26th of March, over 5 days during the Chinese New Year. Sorry, during the school holidays. During school holidays. Hopefully, we keep it to 40 within a bus. If some of you wants to drive, then maybe up to 50 at the most. This is one. As for Ajahn Achalo's retreat, May 24th to June the 1st, unfortunately, we are overbooked already. We already have 55 this evening. I think we only wanted 50, so we have some problem. So for Brother Teo's one, can you kindly let us know early? Maybe the next few days, I think it should be full already. Thank you.